Hello, neighbors. This is the Urbane family from Michigan. Owners at the Polynesian and Riviera. And you're listening to my DVC Points.
Parents and the children could have fun together.
Please board quickly and safely. Our monorail will be departing momentarily.
Welcome to the My DVC Points podcast. Join the conversation as DVC members share their stories, personal preferences, and magical memories. Your reservation is confirmed. Your fast passes are booked. Pull up on the yellow strap because our journey into the magic of membership is about to begin.
To infinity and beyond.
Now, here's your host and curator of magical stories, Chad Pennycuff.
Welcome home, neighbors, to episode 27 of the My DVC Points podcast. Sorry if you haven't heard from me in a little while. I had 12 glorious nights home at Walt Disney World. 6 nights at Beach Club with my extended family. And then after the in-laws all went back home, my family stayed down there with another 6 nights over at Old Key West. And that is quickly becoming one of our favorite resorts. Today's episode is brought to you by DVC Resale Market, the industry leader in DVC resale. If the add-on-itis is hitting at your house and you're looking for a new contract, head on over to dvcresalemarket.com and let them know Chad sent you from My DVC Points. That really helps us out, letting them know that you heard about it on our show. Our friends over at DVC Resale Market aren't just sponsors of the show. Today, they actually help produce this content because when a listener first suggested that I talk to Debbie Eli from Vacation Club Loans, I reached out to Nick Cotton to figure out, well, what's going on here? Is this a person that we should really bring on the show? And he came back with a glowing review. I talked with a couple other people in the industry, some former clients and customers of Debbie's. Everybody had nothing but great things to say. I hope you have as much fun listening to this show as we had recording it. Debbie is not just an industry insider. She's also a DVC member, and for somebody who makes their living off of the timeshare industry and is in every brand imaginable, but yet chooses to become a DVC member, that says an awful lot about the product that we all are fans of as well.
I'd like to welcome to the show today, Debbie Eli. Debbie, how are you doing?
I'm great. How are you doing today, Chad?
I cannot complain. You know, we are recording here on a Saturday afternoon. I'm not sure when this will get edited or when the listeners are listening to it, but it is a bright, sunny Saturday afternoon in Michigan, and it is shorts and t-shirt weather here, and we don't get that in Michigan except for 3 months out of the year. So I am doing really good.
Awesome. Well, it's a little stormy here down in South Florida, and it's very hot, but it's a beautiful day anyway.
You know, that makes me feel a little bit better knowing that I have sunny and 70 and you have hot and miserable. Just saying.
We've swapped.
Yeah, just saying. Now, and the table's going to turn in a few months here. This is Michigan.
Yes.
Debbie, now you are a Vacation Club owner at the Polynesian. Is that right?
That's correct. I've owned at the Polynesian now, but I also used to own at Saratoga Springs and the Boardwalk.
Okay. Used to own. That's not that. I don't like the sound of that, Debbie.
It hurts to say it. It's painful. I had originally bought a Boardwalk contract because a friend of mine told me it was a great deal, a resale agent that I knew personally, and it was loaded with triple points. And it was like, oh, you've got to get this. It's just the greatest opportunity. So I bought into Disney Vacation Club before I really understood how to use those points, how to book. This is before I understood the Boardwalk was right there next to Epcot for food and wine. And I did get the contract. After about 2 years, I sold it. And if you can't see me, but a tear is running down my face as I say that, because I really wish I would have kept it. I wish I had of.
And oh, I think a tear is running down mine and all the listeners' eyes now too. I mean,
it's so sad. And the similar situation happened at Saratoga Springs. But after I sold those and I fell in love with DVC, I enjoyed the properties. I was lucky enough to go visit and stay at all the ones in Orlando, Florida. I stayed at all of them. And I had to go buy some after I had bought and sold. So I bought Polynesian. I got 200 points there. And I'm actually considering buying some more at Alani. So I think that's going to be my add-on-itis when I get bit by it.
Oh, yeah. Add-on-itis is inevitable. I'm telling you, absolutely, positively inevitable. Now, Alani is an interesting choice. Why Alani?
Okay, so not that I get to go to Hawaii. I have been there once. I did get to go to Alani and visit that amazing property. But I was reading an article. It just came out in April, about 2 months ago. And they're building, I guess it's 90% sure that they're going to build an Atlantis water park. Now, I live in South Florida, and we have an Atlantis right in the Bahamas, which is only a 20, 30-minute plane ride from Fort Lauderdale. So right next door to Alani, they're building a $1.5 billion Atlantis. It's a resort, but it's more than a water park, what they have planned. Absolutely phenomenal. And I'm not saying this from an investor standpoint at all. I'm just saying for me, I think it's going to make Alani more valuable. It's going to be like Alani's Magic Kingdom. That water park is just going to add such a huge, tremendous amenity that none of the others have. So that's probably where I'm going to go when I get my add-on-itis.
Yeah, that makes me want to come back in and reconsider my Alani trip, but I can't because I'm 2021. I'm going to Alani. I doubt they'll have this built, but that would be phenomenal to have walking distance to an Atlanta-style water park right next door.
Yeah, the renderings that I saw online were really phenomenal, and I think it's going to be built 2022. So you might miss it. You'll probably see some new construction. You know, you might be able to get some of that glimpse of what the park is going to look like next door. But it's not going to obstruct the view. It's on the, you know, if you've been to Alani and you're facing the beach, it's going to be on the left-hand side. So it's not going to interrupt the beauty of Alani's ocean views and the property itself.
Yeah, I do think they consider some of that, well, facing the ocean, the left-hand wing. I think some of those rooms are considered ocean view, and it would really not be great if they were blocked by another hotel, which is some things that I've heard some Alani members start to talk about there.
Yeah, I 100% agree. I certainly would not want a high rise or anything obstructing my view when you're in Oahu, Hawaii. But I don't see on the renderings, and of course, all of this is just a drawing and you know, rumor right now, but it doesn't appear that it's going to be pass a cup of sugar through your window from one resort to the other. I mean, there's going to be some space there, so you'll have plenty of ocean view left.
Well, that's cool. I'm dreaming big when I go. I want a grand villa on the ocean. It shouldn't impact me at all if it's there, but I don't know, man. That's just a big dream. We haven't booked that yet or 100% got all those points reserved for it. So Okay. We'll see.
All right. I'm looking forward to hearing from when you go and reporting back to us.
Okay. So now, Debbie, you had mentioned buying in and selling DVC. So when was the first time you were a DVC member?
Sure. I originally purchased in 2013. Personally, I'm in the timeshare industry. I've been in the industry since 2006, and I got into resales. I learned more about that side of the industry. Of course, now I'm into financing. And so in 2013 was when I had my opportunity to purchase. And then I ended up selling two contracts in 2015, 2 years later.
Wow. So just 2 years later, you ended up coming back in and getting in and getting out, right?
I did. I got in. I was able to visit all of the resorts. I got to tour many of them because of my relationships. And I mean, I had an amazing experience. I got to stay at a bungalow at the Polynesian. And one of my most amazing Disney experiences ever was sitting on the patio balcony, that private balcony that you get with one of the bungalows, and they play on your own speaker the Jiminy Cricket song, and you're looking at the castle, you're watching the fireworks, and of course the timing and the music goes together, and it was so spectacular and done so well. It was just a great day. It was a lot of fun. And I also got to stay at one of the Grand Villas at Grand Floridian. So that's kind of a funny story. I was actually there for work, and I was given the suite. And I was in a 3-bedroom all by myself because I have to travel to Orlando a lot for work. And I'm in my suite and it's amazing. And I'm in the bathroom for probably an hour, just standing there videotaping with my phone, the mirror, because there's a television built inside the mirror, but you don't see it until you turn the TV on. And then it's some kind of holographic experience. And I just stood there videotaping it, showing it live to all my Facebook friends. It was great.
Those TV in the mirrors, man, my kids just drool over them. They're just giddy over it. I don't know what it is, but a TV in the mirror just, it lights people up.
Yeah, it's so unique. I'm like, I've got to get one of these. Is the TV in the mirror in all the villas at Grand Floridian?
Yes, I believe it is in all of the two bedrooms and one bedrooms. It's in the master suite part of that.
Yeah.
And then I know it's in the Grand Villas there. And I've been able to use one at a one bedroom at Grand Flow. And I can also confirm that they're in the cabins and the three bedrooms over at Copper Creek.
Oh, okay. Wonderful. I wasn't sure that was the only time I ever stayed at the Grand Floridian, but I was certainly hoping. I'm like, is everyone doing the same thing I'm doing right now? Standing in the master bedroom suite, in the bathroom, videotape in the mirror.
It wouldn't surprise me, right? It really wouldn't surprise me. They are at that level of hits. So now walking through this history here. So you had a couple of contracts, you sold them. And then what happened? Like seller's remorse kicked in?
Seller's remorse, definitely. I would absolutely have never have sold either one of them. I unfortunately have never gone to the Food and Wine. And every time I think about that event, I just,
it's like, just cringe.
That
right?
Boardwalk. I would be there right now, you know, so I do plan on attending. I am probably, hopefully I'll be able to do it this fall when it comes back. So far I haven't been able to do it. And I blame, even though that's not the real reason, but I do blame me selling that boardwalk as well.
So. Yeah, there's probably some bad DVC karma there or something. And I know I'm kind of like cringing as well. And my wife had the same experience. We bought an Animal Kingdom contract and it wasn't to keep. It was just because we saw it so cheap that we figured we'd buy it and resell it to flip it. And we bought it knowing full well, we're just taking care of this dog. It's not our dog kind of thing. She fell in love with the dog. Okay. She's just like, I just keep hearing her just clench her teeth. We never should have sold that Animal Kingdom contract.
That's exactly how I feel. It's like I looked at it from an investment perspective and now hindsight 2020, of course, I personally wish I would have kept it because it would have been just a great experience for me to keep just personally. And I have my Polly now. I love Polynesian. It's one of my favorite. In fact, this last weekend, I just was at Animal Kingdom. I went to pick up my granddaughters in Orlando. My stepdaughter moved to Georgia a couple of years ago and we all met. We went to the Animal Kingdom Park. 17 of us spent the whole day. And I love Animal Kingdom. It's one of my favorite. Absolutely. But so is Polynesian. That's why I bought there. This time I did it for the right reason. I bought from the heart, not because I thought it was going to be a triple point investment or something like that.
Yeah, that's key, right? So you now know that you are a buy where you want to stay and buy where you love kind of person.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I do a lot of DVC loans and I tell people, because they'll ask me some questions like, oh, I'm considering this resort or this resort. And I'm like, well, what's your favorite? Where do you want to go? Because that 11-month window, that could be a tremendous benefit. I mean, the financial investor, Susie Orman, she always says, you have to follow money and how it makes you feel. You know, if I say, oh, you're going to make money, but it doesn't feel good, you're not going to be really happy. So I try to steer people to buy what you love, buy with your heart, and you'll never regret it.
Yeah, that's pretty solid advice because, I mean, the DVC camp is pretty divided between the value buyers and the buy where you want to stay. I guess you could reframe this to say the value people are really what they love is value. And so that's why they buy the Saratoga contracts and the old Key West contracts and those that have a cheaper cost per point and cheaper maintenance dues.
Right, absolutely. And I've talked to many people and they're like, well, I'm flexible. I just want to stay at DVC. I just want to be able to have all of those amenities and perks that come with that ownership. I want the transportation and the early morning, you know, the magic hours. And that's fantastic. And I'm like, great. Then you have the opportunity to seek that best deal. The best deal might be at Resort A or Resort B. And then you've got the other side of the coin where someone's like, I love, you know, the boardwalk or I love Bay Lake Tower. I'm like, if that's what you love and that's what speaks to you, that's where you should buy.
Absolutely. I look at people and go as well, look at where you're going to want to book at 11 months because there's certain booking categories that only owners get. Okay. You have to be really, really, really lucky to get club level or value at Animal Kingdom if you don't own there.
Right. Absolutely.
You have to be really lucky to get standard view at Boardwalk if you don't own there. Same thing applies for the standard view over at Bay Lake Tower. Owners are snatching those up because every DVC member eventually gets to the point where they're going, how do I stretch my points? How do I stay longer? And the cheap rooms are it. That's why the cheap rooms always sell out first.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, Debbie, let's move into our rapid fire questions.
All right.
So Dole Whip or Mickey Bar?
Mickey Bar.
Churro or Mickey Pretzel?
I would go with the pretzel with a little mustard.
Ooh. Poncho or umbrella?
Probably neither. I'm not afraid of the rain. I live here in South Florida. I'm so used to our daily weather. I would just tough it out.
Just suck it up and, and roll with it, right?
I was there, like I mentioned, I was there last week in an Animal Kingdom. It sprinkled a little tiny bit, not too bad, and I just went with it.
Yeah, well, I guess so, right? Okay, do you wear ears or rock a t-shirt?
Rock a t-shirt.
Okay, favorite park?
Animal Kingdom, Pandora World. I love that place. I could just wander it literally for hours. Love that.
So that answers my next question, right? Favorite land? I'm assuming it's Pandora now.
Pandora, it's amazing. I had the opportunity to go there last year for the first time. I was able to get some fast passes. I rode Flight of Passage, and it was absolutely my favorite ride. I'm scared of roller coasters, but the virtual ones, I could just ride all day long. So I rode Flight of Passage three times that day. And last weekend, I preached to my family. I told them, it's worth it. It's worth it. We got to do it. So we stood in line for 3 hours. We finally rode it. It was worth it to me, but I'm not sure if I sold them. I think the little kids were a little frustrated, unfortunately.
Three-hour queue is no joke. I mean,
it didn't say that. It said 110 minutes. So I'm like, okay, it's less than 2 hours. Let's do it. And it took three. So I think they got a little irritated by the time we actually physically got on the ride. And it might have overshadowed the greatness of that experience. So
yeah, it could be. So I take it Flight of Passage is your favorite attraction.
Yes, it is.
Okay. Now I have to ask this question because I know from us talking pre-show that you're a huge Star Wars fan.
I am, absolutely.
What do you think Galaxy's Edge is going to do to that lineup? Is it going to knock it down?
I don't think so. I think that obviously Galaxy's Edge is going to be, in my opinion, mind-blowing. I can't wait to go. I am so excited to be able to go to that park, but I do understand that I'm going to have to wait. Just like with Pandora World, I probably waited a year before I went to Animal Kingdom. Last year was the first time I went to Pandora, and it had already been open for, what, about a year? So Galaxy's Edge for me, I'm going to wait a year before I attempt that crowd, but I don't think it's going to have an effect on Pandora.
Yeah, I think Pandora is still going to be nuts, okay? But do you think it's going to knock it into your number one spot? Do you think Galaxy's Edge can dethrone Pandora in Debbie's land?
Absolutely. Okay. I have high hopes and expectations for Galaxy's Edge. Absolutely. They're going to have the Millennial Falcon. So I'm looking forward to, I believe that's another virtual roller coaster.
Pretty similar to it. You're sitting in the cockpit there, and then there's two people in the pilot seats, two people in engineers, and two people in gunner seats. And if you remember the view from the Millennium Falcon cockpit, they've replaced all the windows with screens.
Okay.
And so it does twist and turn and fly back, and you've got all the motions that Flight of Passage would have. It's just you're not looking at a big IMAX screen. You're looking at little tiny screens behind the glass, so to speak, of the windshield of Millennium Falcon. I don't know how else to describe it.
Right, right. If it's a virtual roller coaster, I'm hook, line, and sinker. Absolutely.
Okay.
Especially if it's Star Wars related. I will probably be exactly like I was a kid in a candy store when I went to Pandora World the first time. I will be in Galaxy's Edge, just walking around, smiling and staring, and just be happy, happy, happy.
Okay. Well, just to give you a little bit of an expectation, just last Thursday, I interviewed Richard and Sarah from Skywalking Through Neverland. And these guys are like Star Wars fanatics. Their whole podcast and show is about Star Wars and Disney and a lot of Star Wars emphasis. And they rated it a 6 out of 10. So they thought the graphics were kind of a little bit hokey, but at the same point in time, he just like lost it when he got to him and his wife reached up and hit hyperdrive and pulled down on the Millennium Falcon.
Right, right.
So to me, I'm going, okay, I can deal with some hokey graphics. Okay. Just let me hit that hyperdrive and
right,
do
right.
that. Right. Okay.
Have you seen that Chewbacca head that was real famous on YouTube about two Christmases ago? They had the Chewbacca head, and when you opened your mouth, it went, you know, and it made the noise. I might have to wear one of those on that ride.
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, absolutely. So Pandora's your favorite land, Flight of Passage, favorite attraction. Where's the best place on property to relax and enjoy a drink or a dessert?
I love, is it called Flame Tree Barbecue? Am I saying that right? The Flame Tree Barbecue. That one, the reason I love it is because it's right by the water. You can sit there. You can relax a little bit. It's pretty. You get a little bit of a breeze. Sometimes it's, you know, super hot in the summertime. So that's my favorite one to grab a bite. The food's good. It's reasonably priced. But the location by the water is my favorite.
Oh, absolutely. And it's on Tables in Wonderland, which it's one of the few quick services that are. So you just get a flat 20% off your bill.
Nice.
It's wonderful, 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 wonderful. So we've covered ownership here. We've covered favorite land and attractions. Now, when you go to Disney, do you typically get studios because you're doing last minute trips? Or do you go up to one bedrooms, two bedrooms? How do you typically do Disney?
Good question. Normally, I would go for the studio if I'm traveling by myself. And if those aren't available, I would definitely splurge and get the one bedroom or the two bedroom. I've had the opportunity to stay in different various formats. I try to steer away from the two bedrooms if it's just me, because that's just a waste of my points and I don't want to do that. But the studios are my go-to.
Oh, absolutely. I figured that much. Now, have you stayed in one bedrooms, two bedrooms?
Yeah, definitely. I've stayed in, when I stayed at Bay Lake Tower, I had a two bedroom, but I also had my family with me. It was my son and his best friend. So I got the room and him and his friend got a room and we had a great time there. And we were able to go up to the lounge, see the fireworks. It was a great experience. So I've been to the two bedrooms, but I would say that's probably the least format that I've ever stayed in.
Where's your favorite resort on property?
I love Polynesian. Well, you know what? Let me back up for a second, because when my son was in the Cub Scouts many years ago, we got to go to Wilderness Lodge with the group. I love that. I'm a huge fan of camping, but I would not stay at Wilderness Lodge if my goal was to go to the park. I could go to Wilderness Lodge and just stay there. I wouldn't need to do the parks for that particular visit. But if if I was going to do the parks, I love Polynesian. And I love Beach Club. Beach Club is one of my favorites. You can walk right over to Epcot. But even if you're not doing the parks, like the last time I stayed at Beach Club, I didn't do the parks. And I just love the atmosphere. I love the resort. I love the rooms. The restaurant availability is fantastic. The choices. You can walk around the lake. I mean, it's just a win-win to me. It's such a great place to stay.
Yeah, I look at it and go, Beach Club, you have all the amenities of the boardwalk. It's just a little bit of a stroll, okay, which is not a bad walk around the lake or a bad boat ride across. And you've got Stormalong Bay all right there.
Yeah, fantastic, fantastic pool.
Can't say enough about Beach Club. Can't wait to get my toes in the sand in 19 days from the time of recording. This episode will probably air after I get back from Beach Club.
Okay. I love Beach Club.
Yeah, love that, love that, love that. Okay, prior to joining DVC, how did you do Disney?
I had not stayed on property prior to Disney Vacation Club. I had never rented points there. There's a property that I still love. It's not Disney related, but they have houses and they have four bedroom townhouses that they rent. Like I said, I've been in the industry for a long time. So normally if I go up there and it's just me and my son, if it's just a small group, that's when I would stay at DVC now. But before I learned about Disney Vacation Club, I stayed at other resorts that were very similar to the full kitchen, the laundry facility, you know, those kind of amenities that I've grown to love.
Gotcha. Were they more timeshares or were they more rental home communities?
Always timeshare. Always timeshare. It's kind of cute. I remember when my son was really little, you know, we started staying at timeshares. And probably about 5 years into my career, after we had traveled so often, we went and we stayed at a hotel room, just a regular hotel room. And he was like, Mom, where's the kitchen? Where's the video game system? I mean, it was so blown away from his perspective. Cause to me, you know, it was just a hotel. I got exactly what I knew I was going to get. And from his view, he was so disappointed. He was like, what is this? Why are we staying in this little tiny room? There's absolutely nothing available. I've always stayed at timeshares and I'm a huge, huge promotion of it.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I want to say 10 years ago or more, I went to a Marriott right there by SeaWorld.
Right.
And it was a Marriott timeshare and they did a promotion. I had traveled just oodles and oodles and oodles and had more Marriott points than I knew what to do with. And so I ended up staying at this Marriott timeshare because they did a, hey, you can have four nights here for $99 if you sit through the pitch. And I put the hook in my mouth. I mean, I took it.
Yeah. What a great deal.
Yeah. I mean, you end up wasting 4 hours of your time when you do that. So what's 4 hours of your vacation time worth dollars wise? But that thing said and done, I walked away from that four night stay at the timeshare and went, this is the way we need to vacation.
Yes.
This is the way to roll. We don't need to be going anywhere else. And that at least kind of set the bar for me so that later when I came back in and started to say, yeah, I want to stay on property at Disney, that's what made me start looking at Disney Vacation Club.
Yeah, I've stayed at many, many timeshares, all different kinds of brands, Marriott, Hilton. I mean, I'm close to Key West and Hyatt has three properties down in Key West. So I was already hook, line, and sinker in love with the product. But for Disney Vacation Club, it's a little bit of a different level to me. That's why, you know, out of all the brands that I'm familiar with, I've only ever owned Disney Vacation Club. I've only owned DVC. And the marquee value of it, I think you can't go wrong. You know, if I can't use the points, I can rent them. I'm never going to lose money. And again, I'm not saying this is an investment, you should do that. But it's definitely something that I feel strongly that I know I'm getting an exceptional value. You know, I did buy on the resale market. I was able to get a good price per point, you know, for all three of the contracts that I've bought in my life. You know, if I did want to sell them tomorrow, which I've learned my lesson, I'm not, but if I did, you know, I feel confident that I'm not going to lose money no matter which way I go. I can own, I can use, I can rent, I could sell, I could buy more. And I'm very comfortable in whatever situation that Disney Vacation Club points has put me in.
Yeah. Well, every time I do the math on it, the rental stuff, you slightly more than break even on, slightly positive to the break even. The longer you've owned it, those old time people that got their points super cheap come out really ahead on rental.
Absolutely.
But I mean, you're talking about a product that has Disney's brand and marketing attached to it. And yesterday I went to my 7-year-old's dance recital. I kid you not, at least 20% of the songs in there were a Disney IP throughout this 4-hour recital. Mm-hmm. And I looked at it and I went, you've got dance companies coming back in and marketing this product by having people sing their songs and engage with the characters.
Right.
It's everywhere. You look at the top box office this year. You've got Captain Marvel. You've got Avengers Endgame. You've had Mary Poppins. You've had everything out there that's coming. You've got Toy Story coming out. You got the live action of Aladdin out right now. You've got the live action of The Lion King. Disney owns pop culture.
Right.
To me, that's what comes back into it. And it goes, hey, look, I've got this marketing machine that's out here and I'm attached to it when I kind of buy into DVC. And I think we as owners have had that privilege for a long time now.
Yeah. And the nice thing about the whole product of Disney, it goes across all age groups. You know, when we went to Animal Kingdom and there were 17 of us. So we had 8 adults, 9 children. And when we're out there and we see the characters, everyone was just as excited to take a picture with Goofy as the 6-year-old or the 50-year-old. You know, we were all like, it's Goofy. I mean, everybody was on the same enthusiastic level. And when they're playing music or characters are walking around, you know, we're all being big kids no matter what our age is. So that's one of the things that I love about going to the parks and even staying on the Disney properties. It's like everybody just appreciates, you know, A, we're having that family quality time. We're making these memories. And when you go and you see those characters or the movies, the Endgame, Avengers Endgame, it's like we're all enjoying this product of entertainment and it goes across all age groups and everything.
Yeah, absolutely. So do you have any regret now, any desire to stay off property when you're coming back up to Orlando?
I always want to stay on property, but like when we just stayed up there, because we had such a large group, I had to get a 4-bedroom and we actually had a second one. So we needed a lot of space because we had 4 different families. So I wasn't able to stay on Disney property. I would have had to get 6 2-bedroom villas and, you know, my point allowance wouldn't allow that. So we ended up staying off property this last visit.
Yeah, you're not pulling that off on 200 points.
Sure, I'm not. Even with my old contracts, I still wouldn't be able to pull that off.
Yeah, no kidding. But I mean, a 17-member trip to Disney, that's pretty dang memorable.
It was amazing. We had such a great time. Right after we ate barbecue, when we left, they have that stage right across the little walkway. And they were over there. They're playing the music. They're dancing. They've got characters. And they started playing Baby Shark. And the kids went crazy. The adults went crazy. Everybody was doing the motions. Grandma Shark, And I got the whole thing on video. And I'll keep it forever because we were all just having such a great time. So it was a very memorable day. And we all wore blue shirts.
Oh, really? So you did matching t-shirts?
Yeah, we didn't match 100%. Not everybody got the memo, per se. We didn't pre-order them and like have them printed up or anything. It was just like, all right, everybody wear blue because we thought that would be an easy color for us to all match. And most of us did blue. There was a couple of Dallas Cowboys shirts. I guess that counts. There was a couple of variations.
It's always the Cowboy fans, just saying. Right?
I'm a Cowboys fan, so it's my fault. I wore the blue, but some people were rooting for me in a different kind of shirt. That's funny.
Yeah, no kidding. So, okay, well, that's kind of cool to know as well. I just get fascinated by the whole matching t-shirt deal.
And yeah.
Part of me thinks it's really cool, but part of me goes, I don't know that I want to do that.
I would totally do that. I'm a big, like, for example, I'm getting ready to go on vacation next week and we're going on a cruise. And I've already made everyone match for formal night. It was like, all right, my son has a suit. I'm like, what color bow ties do you have? And he's like, oh, I've got, you know, purple and burgundy. I'm like, okay, I'm wearing my burgundy dress because you have a burgundy bow tie. I've already got the matching coordination going because you got to take pictures. It looks good.
Yeah. I mean, they do look killer in pictures. And I am all about the pictures from my family vacation.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, all about it to the point of, I love the Disney fine art photography people that come into the resorts and take pictures because to me, that's like getting a picture taken at your home. Okay. Right. These are my family portraits that are going to be with me for forever. That's at my home. Okay.
Right.
I want them at my home.
And you're going to remember those forever. Like when you get those photographs, you know, 5 years, 10 years down the road, you might not remember every single Magic Kingdom moment or the time that you were caught in a thunderstorm at Animal Kingdom. And, you know, but if you break out those photographs, I guarantee you, you're going to be cracking up laughing. Remember that time? Remember this? You're going to start going over those memories. And that's something that I cherish. I'm a huge photo lover. I've always been a big fan of photographs and capturing those memories. And I know every time I get together with my family, we always break out the old-fashioned photo albums that I have from when we were teenagers. I still have them. And we just laugh and just like, oh my God, look what I was wearing. Look at my hair. Because we had big hair back then. It was just super fun. And it's always going to be that way, I think.
It always is. And I got to tell you, there's a lot of people that come in and buy pins or buy hats or buy various different things or even the purses. I've talked to some people that do. My jam there is a picture frame.
Yeah. Okay.
Because what I do is I take a picture of my family and I put in it, and you don't ever throw out pictures of people.
Absolutely.
Whereas the souvenirs you get tired of looking at, I never get tired of looking at that magical moment with my family. And so my deal is to come back in and make my office look like a Chili's restaurant or something along those lines, where there's just not a square inch there that isn't a framed Disney photo.
Right. I'm refrigerator magnets. Everywhere I go, I get a refrigerator magnet. My whole refrigerator's covered with magnets from all of my trips.
Those are affordable too, okay?
Yes.
And I will tell you, my office at work is pretty well lined with those as well.
Yeah. They don't break in the suitcase, you know. I tried the coffee cup route. Not all of those made it back, but the magnets, little, you could stick it in your pocket, your purse, whatever you need, and it always makes it home in one piece.
Very true. And I mean, come on, how many coffee cups can you really ultimately use?
According to my family, about 3,000. We have a lot. I'm ready to go through them and start wrapping them and donating them.
Well, that's just it. And then who wants to buy your souvenir coffee mug? Okay.
Sorry.
Well, anyways, Debbie, what kind of items are on your DVC bucket list?
My bucket list for DVC, I would love to stay at one of the tree houses. I've never even seen inside of them. I've never had a tour of that. And like I mentioned, I'm a huge camper. I love the outdoors. So I think that if I could do one reservation and had all the points to cover it, I would definitely do the treehouse.
Oh, my kids ask to go back to the treehouses all the time.
And those are two bedrooms.
They love treehouses. Mm-hmm. They're technically three.
Oh.
But one of the bedrooms has got a pair of bunk beds in it, is the two beds.
Okay.
And so if you don't have kids that are wanting to climb up in a bunk bed and you're trying to put adults in there, not so great. But I slept in the bottom bunk as well. I've stayed there twice now. And one of the times it was a situation where I just had to make my kid go to the top bunk and I stayed in the bottom bunk. And we still had a great time. They're still lovely. If you can get one and request one that's overlooking the river, they're an incredible place to just hang out and watch the boats go by that are going over to Port Orleans Riverside from Disney Springs.
Right. Yeah. I would love to stay in the Trees House. I would also love to stay at the Grand Californian. I did the Pacific Coast Highway trip 2 years ago, and I looked online. They did have points for one night at the Grand Californian, but my trip, I didn't want to hotel hop. I didn't want to do city. I wanted to stay two nights at every city that I stopped at. So because of that, I skipped it. And that's one of the few Disney properties I've never been to.
Oh, Grand Cal, another one you've just got to do. It is absolutely incredible, especially if you can get a room that's overlooking DCA and overlooking Paradise Pier. Mm-hmm. Phenomenal theme park view.
Wow.
Okay.
I would love to go visit that. I've never seen that one. So.
It is literally like you could literally throw something with a strong arm out of your balcony into the park if you wanted to.
Amazing. I bet it's beautiful at night.
Oh, it's absolutely, absolutely. And the park stays lit all night long till the morning hours, mm-hmm. till like the sun comes up. That's when they turn off the lights.
Wonderful. Well, that's my two bucket list items. So I'm going to have to work on that reservations.
Okay. Well, that leads to my next question. Right? If Tinkerbell were to come up and put 2,000 magical pixie dust enhanced points that are one-time use only into mm-hmm. your account, how would you use these points? You can use them for anything in the DVC catalog.
Okay. So I have to only book one trip. I can't break it up?
No, you can do whatever you want with them.
Oh, okay.
They're magical Tinkerbell points.
Oh, well, that's why we all love Tinkerbell. I would definitely have to book those two trips. I would love to be able to stay at the treehouse, go to the Californian and enjoy that resort if there was some availability for more than one night in a row.
Oh, Tinkerbell gets you guaranteed availability. Okay? These are Tinkerbell points.
They're magical points. There's a room that will actually be designed and built just for my stay. I would go back to Aulani. I love that property. It's absolutely breathtaking. It surprisingly, in real life, it was bigger than I expected. I know in the photographs it looks huge, but it really is bigger than life when you're standing there on the ground and looking up at it. You feel like you're looking at the Empire State Building. It's massive.
Wow.
And the pool, fantastic. When you're walking around on the property, they actually have these areas. It's not mixed with the pool. It is separated. But you're walking down a pathway and you see this huge fish tank and all these beautiful fish next to the pool. It's a little mind-blowing, but they're not actually in the pool. But they just did such a great job. In fact, they have local artists that come to that resort every day and teach children how to make leis and how to make something with coconuts, like can't remember exactly what it is, but the local artists from Hawaii on the island come there and work with the children. And it's just such a unique experience because the Polynesian culture there is just something to embrace. They're such beautiful people.
Oh, absolutely. Aulani is still on my bucket list. 2021, here we come. The MyDVC Points community is trying to get together a trip for end of June to go back to Aulani. And so far, we've got about five or six families signed up for it. So we're wonderful. Pretty excited about that.
All right, so I'm going to use whatever Disney points I don't use for my Tinkerbell. I'm going to sprinkle over the MyDVC points community, and then we could all share. I'll pay it forward a little bit.
Oh, there you go.
There you go.
Hey, so you're going to come back in and help us on our Aulani trip, I bet.
Absolutely. We'll all go together. I got 2,000 points. Let's do it.
Hey, I mean, you could get 2 weeks in a grand villa there. You could book two of them.
I don't even need a grand villa. Just give me a two-bedroom. We'll all go. We'll have a great time.
Yeah, there we go. Okay. I think we could probably get four or five of the two bedrooms, depending on the views. So,
yeah, I didn't say I was going to share. I just meant all I need is a two-bedroom.
Ah, okay, right. So, and then the rest of us can fend for the scraps. I get it.
I'm going to donate all my points. So I think it'll work.
Yeah, we'll figure out. Well, hey, you know me, man. I am not going to leave a point on the table. Okay.
Yeah, right. Someone might get stuck with the studio. Poor thing. It's free.
Yeah, I think they'll suffer through, okay?
Yeah, absolutely.
That being said and done, now you've been a member, you've sold, you've bought back. What advice would you have to a new or prospective member who's listening to this show today?
So I would tell a new DVC member to learn the perks that they get for being a DVC owner. There's a lot of things that these properties offer that might not be available to the general public. Like if you get that extra hour in the morning, take advantage of that because that can really be advantageous to your fast passes. You don't need to use your fast passes if you're in the park an hour early. There's some other things too. I believe I was just reading when you are a DVC member and you book your DVC reservation and you get your fast passes. I think when you're staying on property, your window to book your fast pass is actually bigger than when you're not staying on property. Is that correct? Did I read that right?
Yeah, it's a full 60 days when you're staying on any Disney property, whether you're on property or off. And it's interesting that your perspective here is off property versus on property. Because I think most of us start coming to Disney staying on property and then realize we want the deluxe accommodations for moderate prices. And that's why we buy into DVC.
Right. So anyway, yeah, that's exactly what I would tell them to learn what their DVC membership actually provides to them, because there's really some fantastic perks. I mean, I just learned that when you're staying in Animal Kingdom, they give you free night goggles so you can watch the animals. I didn't know that. You know, there's just all this information out there, and each resort is so unique and they're so attentive to their guests that it's worth that little bit of research. You're not just going to some hotel and you're not just getting a bed. You're actually getting an experience. So take the time to investigate and do your homework to see what those are.
That Animal Kingdom tip was excellent because I stayed there once and we knew about it, but we were looking at it going, I want to end up paying for this. And then the second time we stayed there, I actually went downstairs to the fire pit right outside of Sanaa. Mm-hmm. And they had cast members out there and they had four or five of them chained to the poles around there and you could just use them for free.
Yeah, they let you use them for free. So, I mean, that's great information in the evening when you have children and you know there's animals out there, and just wearing the night vision goggles is kind of cool too.
It is.
You know, you're commando and you're out there and you're looking, you're feeling super cool with your night vision goggles.
Yeah, absolutely. That was one of my favorite things about staying there. And then when I realized there was no extra cost for it, how do you go wrong with that?
Yeah, I love free. I love. Who doesn't?
Oh, especially if you're taking 17 people to Disney. God knows you don't get enough free.
Yeah, we could have used some free some free stuff that day. It was worth it. It was so worth it. It was a great time. We got great memories. None of the kids will ever forget it. We took the grandkids to Magic Kingdom about 6 years ago, and they were little. And one of my personal favorite memories of that day is the three-year-old, she fell asleep. We rented the buggies, the stroller buggies for the, you know, the children. And she fell asleep laying on top of it, not inside, but she was laying across the top where the umbrella shade is. And she slept like that for over an hour. And it was just the cutest thing. And every time I think of the Magic Kingdom, I can see her sleeping on the stroller top. So
see, now I would have taken a picture of that and it would
have
went in a special frame going on my wall. Okay.
We have a picture of that. It was so unique. I don't know how she even got up there. Maybe somebody was carrying her and laid her down on the top. I mean, why didn't they stick her inside? I don't know. It was pretty funny. Maybe she climbed up there. I don't know. I don't remember.
Yeah. Climb up there. It's a nice little perch, kind of like a cat climbing a tree, I guess. I don't
exactly
know. Something along those lines.
She wanted to be able to see. She wanted a better view, and then she fell asleep.
The other part about your story that intrigues me is you've been in the timeshare industry now for, you said 2006?
Yeah, 13 years.
13 years. Okay, you've been in there 13 years, and Disney is the only place that you've decided to own.
Absolutely correct. I've never owned any other timeshares. I've certainly seen lots of opportunity, but the Disney Vacation Club product, it's something that I truly believe has that marquee value, and you're getting dollar for dollar. I know that if I go to sell this, I'm not going to lose a lot of money. And the concept of timeshare is, you know, when you buy it, it's to use. You know, this is to motivate you to take those family vacations. You own a week or you own X points, And that's that motivation to, okay, let's schedule a family trip. Let's all get together. Let's have a reunion or whatever motivation, you know, this is spring break or summer break. But when you go into Disney Vacation Club, it's just such a marquee product and they take care of these properties. I'm not worried when I go to a Disney property that it hasn't been, you know, well kept. I know that the rooms are going to be clean. I know the air conditioning, not that it can't never break. I mean, of course things happen, but I know my room is going to be clean. The air conditioning is going to work. The facilities are going to be in top condition. I'm not going to ever check into my resort and be like, it's really kind of aged and really going down. And I need to sell this and get rid of it because I don't want to bring my family back here. Unfortunately, I've heard those stories, you know, in the industry over the years.
Oh, absolutely. And that is the one thing. We pay through the nose for this product, but it is probably the best maintained timeshare out there.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
By far. I have never stayed any place that I think can compete with this, but now I'm a little limited here. I've only stayed at about 3 or 4 different timeshare companies.
I've stayed at probably every brand, like every marquee brand, the top 10. I mean, there's probably 40 maybe, but I've definitely stayed at Marriott, Hilton, Hyatt, Wyndham, Bluegreen, and they're fantastic. The properties are great. You definitely are getting an experience. They all have washing facilities in the unit. They all have kitchens. They supply dishes. And that is a big deal to me because I travel with my family. There's kids. Mm-hmm. My son, he's now 16, but he's 6'2". He's been 6'2" since he was 14. That is a lot of food. He eats breakfast, snack, lunch, then goes on to 3 dinners. I mean, he's constantly eating. And having that ability to, okay, we're going to eat at the room, then we're going to go to the parks. You know, as it's just been a big perk and convenience, especially when you're traveling with a big group like we usually do.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, you've transitioned then from working for a timeshare company to starting your own finance company, right?
Absolutely right. When I started in the industry, I actually worked for a developer. The corporate office was down here in South Florida, but the physical resort was in Nassau, Bahamas. And I didn't know anything about the industry, but I have my accounting degree and I was brought into for that skill. And I learned the industry. And then I learned the resale side of the industry. The gentleman that I worked for at the time bought a resale company up in Orlando, a resale broker. And so I learned that side. And one of the things that kind of frustrated me, or definitely did frustrate me, is there was no financing available for this product. When you buy direct, you can finance it. It's easy. Every developer offers financing. Here, sign here. Here's your loan. It's super, super easy. But on the resale side, we didn't have that opportunity. You couldn't finance a Marriott, a Hilton, a Hyatt. So I was like, I was very passionate. I really wanted to create this company that would serve the industry and help families buy on the resale because it's a great product. It's a fantastic price because you're buying resale. But if you don't have the cash, it's just very difficult. And sometimes they end up buying direct and they're paying more money just so they can finance it. So long story short, I was able to launch my own company. It's called Vacation Club Loans. I do a lot of Disney. Disney's definitely the most of my business, but I am able to now finance any brand. If you want to buy Holiday Inn, fantastic product, you can buy Holiday Inn and you can finance it. So I've been super happy. We've been doing it for 4 years now. And we've done probably 600 loans, several million dollars.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. 4 years now, you've probably, some of your initial customers are probably getting close to being paid off.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's been interesting enough because some of my initial customers have done 2, 3, 4. I just did a fifth loan for one of my initial customers last week.
The add-onitis is real, people. The add-onitis
I'm here
is
for
real.
Them.
Right?
Well, it was interesting. Like in January, when Disney had announced that big change in the resale market, we were swamped. We had so much business because everybody was trying to get into that under I think it was January 19th is when they made the change. And they only had a 2-week window to get that contract locked in. So a lot of people jumped on the, let me grab that contract so I can always use it at all the future properties.
Oh, I remember because we started talking in like December-ish of setting up this podcast interview. And when that hit, I was just like, just write Debbie off. I mean, you're baked. You're done. You're
like, we were slammed for 2 months. I mean, we worked 12 hours a day. It was so busy, but it was great. We were able to help a lot of families lock in those contracts because they weren't maybe quite ready to write that check. And, you know, I'm not trying to pitch myself. I'm just saying, because it was no prepaid penalty, they were able to get the contract, lock it in, have the financing, and now they can pay it off, you know, next week or next month or whenever. Doesn't matter.
Yeah. And then they got their contract that they could still grandfather in and use anywhere.
Exactly.
Whereas today, you don't have that benefit. I don't think it's all that huge, in my opinion, of a deterrent from buying resale.
Right.
But it would be nice to be able to go anywhere. I mean, yeah. It's like 14 classic resorts are killer, don't get me wrong, but the ability to go to new ones with the same points, cool. Yeah.
Do you remember that Dr. Seuss story where they had stars on their bellies and then they went through the machine and got the stars removed? I don't know if you remember that story, but it's kind of one of those, I want to do it because you told me I can't. So if Disney says, well, you can't use your points at Riviera, it makes you want to go to Riviera more almost because you want to do it because you've been told you can't. But it'll be interesting to see what happens with the Riviera. I mean, I know they're really, you know, rooting for those points. They're selling them now. They're selling them on the cruise ships and everything at the Riviera. So once that life cycle starts and those initial owners start to sell, it's going to be really interesting to see the resale reaction because those points are only going to be good for the Riviera or in the future Reflections or in the future, you know, the next resort. So I'm interested to see that.
Let's pick up on that concept as well, because I am fairly convinced there is a life cycle of a DVC member and a life cycle of a timeshare owner. And I have kept hearing from people 7 to 10 years, 7 to 10 years, 7 to 10 years.
That's correct. It's 8 years. In my experience, and I did a study on this, it was not Disney driven. It was just the timeshare industry in general. And it was 8 years. By the time they got in, used the product, and started to drift off to not booking as much. And I don't know if it was because of the children's age. You know, maybe they bought when their children were young and by high school. I don't know. That wasn't the question on the survey that we did, but it was the 8 year mark was the average life cycle.
And from what I get from talking with resale brokers and everybody else, I keep hearing the same story. And so I look at this and I go, if you're going to buy something and you know it has about an 8 year shelf life, and you get the reverse effect of add-on-itis after about 8 years, where you start to come back in and go, maybe I want out of this. Mm-hmm. Okay. To me, it just makes sense to plan that into your purchase right up front and look at it. So that's why me personally, for my family, I could never consider buying Riviera just due to these resale restrictions.
Right, right.
Because I don't know what the price is going to happen with a DVC resale contract that can only be used there.
I think the experienced DVC owner is probably having a similar, like, would I buy at Riviera knowing I might struggle to sell it? And I don't want to say the word struggle, but I might sell it at 40% of what I paid for it. I'll have to stay there to see if that's how I feel. Like, I'm going to own here and I always want to come back. Or, I mean, there's a very, very tiny few Disney properties that I would say, I'm going to buy here and this is the only one that I need to go to. But most of them, I would want that flexibility of, I need to be able to move around and go to different properties.
Yeah, that's a great question. And I think I should start asking my interview. So what are the properties that you would own at and be happy never going someplace else at?
Polynesian, where I bought. Because like I said, I bought that with my heart. I knew that I could stay at Polynesian and just love it every time. I would also stay at Beach Club. That's about the only two, knowing if I was buying on the resale market and it was a Riviera situation, and I would not be able to go to any of the other 14 properties, those would honestly be the only two that I could think of right now that I would buy at. I've never stayed at the Riviera. Maybe it's going to be one of those, it's so amazing, you'll only want to stay here. But
it could be. It very well could be. Have you seen the Chip and Company's room tours that they put up?
Not yet, no. Are they amazing?
Oh, they're absolutely amazing. They are Grand Flow level of interior decor. And it's almost like Grand Californian has the same level of tiling done to it as well, but they are absolutely gorgeous on the inside with stone and tile. They just look amazing on the inside.
Right.
So to your point, we could come back in and this could just be a phenomenal resort that the resort carries that Okay.
Absolutely. And for me, I would have to get a feel for the property. It's not just the interior of my room. It's almost like when you buy a home in a neighborhood, I need to know that that has a community. And, you know, there's just certain things that make your heart smile when you're on vacation with your family. Is there that community on that property? Is it just cozy and friendly and, you know, just walking around on the outside? I'm going to have to stay there. And I'm excited. I can't wait to stay there next year, but I'm going to have to stay there to see if it's all that.
I'm keeping an open mind on that part of it as well. I still wouldn't buy it because I love my exit strategy.
Right, right.
I love the fact knowing that I could sell these contracts today for what I have in them or more. And to the other point as well, I mean, I own 6 resorts. It is a cardinal sin in my house to even talk about using a beach club point anyplace other than beach club. Okay. Using a Grand Cal point anyplace other than Grand Cal. No. Right?
Right.
Now, the Bay Lake contract, we'll network that one. The Saratoga one, we want to network that one. We bought that one specifically for networking that one at other resorts.
Gotcha.
Now, that being said and done, it's just difficult. I love being able to go to multiple resorts. I love split stays. I love being able to mix up my trip.
Right. But that's one of the great things about DVC, the conversation that we're having right now, is because you can own at multiple properties and have that. No, these points are for this property because we love it so much. These points are flexible and you have that power. And there is an extra strategy, which is unique for Disney. I mean, not all of them can say that. So being on the inside looking out, I know that the Disney exit strategy is solid. And that's why I was completely comfortable spending my hard-earned money on those points versus maybe other options.
Well, I would argue with you're so comfortable in that you have a whole business based on financing it and backing it where the property is the collateral.
Well, it was nice because I approved myself immediately. I felt comfortable financing me. So it was easy to get that loan.
Short trip to the underwriter, huh?
Exactly. It's not what you know till you know, right?
Yeah, I guess so. Coming back into the vacation club loan side, I know you offer financing for new resale buyers, but do you do any refinancing?
Absolutely. We have some unique products that a lot of people maybe don't know about. And we do financing on the resale market, financing on direct sales. I've done that as well. We've done refinancing, and we've also done equity loans where someone had a DVC contract and they were in a situation where they were actually thinking about selling because they had a personal situation where, okay, let's do this. Maybe they weren't super excited about selling it, but they needed to have that cash. And I was able to do, I actually did 3 equity loans just last month on an existing contract that was paid in full. And what I did was I just recorded a mortgage on the points, loaned them X what they wanted, and it worked out perfect for everybody because they got to keep their contract, their points, and get cash.
Wow, that is a very, very, very unique situation. So if you get in a situation where you have to have cash, you can like essentially refi or cash out refi a timeshare.
Yeah, it's exactly like a home equity loan, but it's not your home, it's your DVC points because we do record a mortgage. And the mortgage recording fees are based on the amount of the mortgage. I mean, we don't set that price. That's up to Orange County or, you know, Hawaii. I mean, it depends on the state, of course, but about $200. I mean, it's not expensive. There's no points you have to pay. And for us, as long as you have a 600 credit score, you're automatically approved. You know, that's not a huge hurdle.
No, that one's not at all, because you just have to like have some kind of credit history and not be fresh out of bankruptcy, it sounds like.
600's, you know, a little bit below average. The average industry's in, you know, ours is 700. But as long as they have that 600, a little bit of established credit, they're automatically approved and they can finance up to 5 years. So they have plenty of time to pay it back if they choose. There's no prepayment penalty. So if they win the lottery, they're fine. They can just pay it off.
Okay. Well, if I win the lottery, I might be talking Golden Oaks. I don't know, right? That's just me, okay? So just to recap here then, 600 FICO score gets me financing.
Absolutely correct. Approved.
Yep. Guaranteed. The vacation club product is the collateral.
Correct.
Okay. And you do direct sales, you do resale, and you do cash out refis.
Yep, we do refinancing. If they're looking to pay off a different loan that has maybe a higher interest rate, our average interest rate's running 11.9 right now. It goes 9.9 up to 14.9, which is credit score driven. We also do equity loans on paid in full DVC contracts.
Gotcha. Now, just me being a finance guy, those numbers seem a little on the high side to me. Mm-hmm. How do they relate to the timeshare industry, though? Because that's the big question.
The average industry rate is 15.9.
Your worst case scenario is better than average.
We are way below. At our 9.9, there's nobody out there that can beat it. Not that I'm aware of. I've never seen any finance company that's in the timeshare industry. I'm not saying your home equity line at your bank. I mean, they would probably give you, you know, a better rate. But for the timeshare industry, it's 15.9% is the average, but not with us. We're at 11.9.
Awesome. Okay.
And I do 9.9 for Disney all day long.
That is really good to know. I mean, I personally cringe at those numbers, but I'm a fiscal conservative kind of guy. Okay. But I know a lot of people, that's an attractive number based on where they're at, especially if they're at an industry average of 15.9 and they're able to come in and refinance with you and their situation's changed, they can drop that to a 9.9. That's some incredible savings there.
Yep. I just did a refinance yesterday. The gentleman had two contracts. One was at 14.9 and one was at 12.9. So I refinanced them both at 9.9 and he's going to save about $3,500.
Wow.
That's a lot. I mean, when you're spending a $200 mortgage recording fee to save $3,500, that's a great deal. He's not doing anything.
Yeah, I'll take that deal. I will definitely take that deal, especially if we're looking at a net-to-net cash out of pocket, okay?
Right, exactly.
Because a lot of times financing stuff gets a little bit mystified and people play some games with it of, well, I'll drop your payment down $100. Yeah, but I've increased your loan 10 years. So what?
Exactly.
Okay?
And we see that a lot. We see a lot of 10-year loans where I don't think people treat financing like they do when they go car shopping. They don't look at the price or the interest that they're going to pay. They're like, I want my payment to be $250. So that's the driving force of their decision. And unfortunately, that can put them in a couple of little pickles. If they look and say, look, this is the price I want to pay and this is the interest I'm willing to pay, they would be able to save a lot of money. Because the 5-year loan versus a 10-year loan, you're looking at 20% interest over the life of the loan because you pay it on 5 years versus 100% interest. You know, to borrow $10,000 over 10 years, you're going to pay like $9,000 in interest. I don't think people conceptually realize that when they, you know, are shopping.
Yeah, that's a really good point. Now, I know for a fact that you work with Nick Cotton over at DVC Resale Market and their entire team.
They're amazing. I love them.
Oh, absolutely. You can work with any resale broker, correct?
Absolutely correct. We're a licensed consumer finance company. So we provide financing throughout the industry. There's probably 30 resale brokers that we have vetted and qualified to be in our network. Only a handful of those specialize in Disney. And Nick and his team, super responsive, very professional, excellent to work with. I can't say enough good stuff about them.
I bought 6 contracts through Nick, and that's been my experience on all of them. And I've even had we sold that Animal Kingdom contract through Nick as well. And so that's been my experience is phenomenal all the way around. But it's good to hear that that translates on the back end to the financing team as well.
Absolutely. I don't want to throw out a number, but I've worked with them on a lot of contracts. I've never had an error, a mistake, a hiccup, a complaint. I mean, it's just been such a great relationship. Every buyer and seller with them has been very, very happy.
Yeah. And that was something else as well. When we first started talking, you made a really good point that by you offering financing to this, it helps the people that are selling because that enables more people to buy the contract.
Absolutely. Not everybody is able to write that check today. You know, you figure the average resale contract is about $14,000. So not everybody wants to part with $14,000. I've had a few unpleasant comments said to me on Facebook, like, who would finance a timeshare? That's just stupid. And I'm like, really? Because there's a lot of families that we help because they're going to take, and maybe they do have $10,000, but they want to buy those points, finance them over, let's say 12 months, but they're going to take that $10,000 and actually spend it on the vacation of their dreams. They're going to take their kids to Alani. They're going to have a family reunion at Magic Kingdom, and they want to save that cash to enjoy the points that they just purchased. I don't think there's anything stupid about that scenario at all.
Yeah, it comes into a personal value situation. And Facebook is filled with people that come back in and project their values onto others. And part of what's unique about MyDVC points is we take everybody's opinion and experience, and we think everybody's opinions, experience, and values are valid. We just ask you to tell us why so that we can understand it and learn something from this.
Sure. Well, I mean, every great industry has financing. I mean, a home is a different story. We're talking triple digits. But when you're purchasing a car, I mean, look at all the Disney direct sales. 80% of those are done under a financing mechanism. So it's definitely needed. It's wanted. It's used a lot by very intelligent people. I started this business because I saw a problem that needed a solution, and I love it. I don't regret it for one single day. I love coming to work. I love my job. It's been awesome. I get to work with the happiest people, you know, because they're buying their Disney Vacation Club points. I love hearing their stories, you know, when they're talking to me like, oh, I'm putting an offer in. Oh, I waived, you know, I passed ROFR. You know, these people are excited. They're happy. And I get to share that process with them and help them make it happen. So it's been great.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, let's come back into this because you mentioned earlier selling your Boardwalk contract. Mm-hmm. Okay. And what year did you sell that in?
2015.
So 2015. So 4 years ago. Okay.
Right.
And you sell that contract. And in 4 years' time, what was the price difference if you were to rebuy that contract today?
You know, I knew you were going to ask me this, and I actually looked it up yesterday. I'm like, he's going to tease me. But I was also curious because I wanted to see what would that contract be today. So actual numbers, I paid $11,400, bought 150 Boardwalk points. I turned around and sold them for $13,500. And I made 15% profit, which I got a lot of points. I got a lot of stays. It had triple points, like I mentioned. It was a good experience. But when I bought into it, I was looking at it as an investment because my friend is like, oh, this is a great deal. But today, that contract's worth $20,000. I wish I would have kept.
So just to recap, you bought this at about 11.4. Mm-hmm. You kept it 2 years and used at least 3 years of points off of it because it was loaded and sold it for 13. Okay.
Yep, 13.5.
This is what I'm talking about, people, when I talk about exit strategy and DVC. And had you kept that an additional 4 years, you're telling me that this would have been worth $20,000 today.
$20,000 today. Absolutely.
Okay.
I would have been able, you know, if hindsight 2020, I shouldn't have sold it. I did, but okay. But today it would have been worth $20,000. I looked at the market yesterday and for 150 Boardwalk points, I saw a few contracts out there going from 19,000 to 23,000. And I just said, okay, so let's say this is worth about 20.
Okay. The 23 even makes my point even more. If I just take the 20, okay, there's right. $7,000 difference.
Right.
Okay. So the person who bought your contract for 13, if they financed it at 10% interest, they're going to spend $1,300 a year. Okay. Do the right. math here. Times
and it wouldn't
four.
Even be that much because you're paying the interest on just the principal. It'd have been 13 the first year, then it would have been down to 10, then it would have been 800. You know, it would have been even less than 1300 a year.
Okay. So I'm just napkin ballparking this here then. So let's just say it was 13, and over that 4 years time frame, they paid $4,000 in interest just to be on the high side.
Right.
Right. The contract was still worth 20. They would have been $3,000 better off financing this in this particular limited scenario. That's just the way my MBA mind works. I can't help it.
Exactly.
Okay. So to the people who go, this was stupid. Was it really? Okay.
Right. Because the 9.9% interest they would have paid, the contract would have appreciated more than the 9.9% a year. But they would have been able, you know, my point is buy it because you want to use it because mm-hmm. that would have been worth it right there, paying the 9.9% interest. If they weren't able to write that $14,000 check and they financed it, but they were to use those points every year and they were having a great time and everyone's happy. I mean,
I'm telling you,
really what it's about. It's the
they also got 4 years of vacation out of this deal. Okay. So I look at it and I go, man, the weird pixie dust math that goes on with these DVC points and how the legacy contracts have gone up in value. I get why DVC is ticked at the resale market. They're creating this incredible product that's so strong that this kind of thing happens on the math of it. And those of us who do the math come back in and go, man, this wasn't such a bad idea after all. Final question here for you.
Yes.
If people want to know more about you or do some math with you or figure out their own Disney scenarios, mm-hmm. how do they get in contact with you and how do they follow up?
The easiest way is go to our website, vacationclubloans.com. We'll gladly talk on the phone and compare scenarios with anybody out there that's interested in, you know, wanting to have a conversation and just exploring what options are out there for them to cure the add-on-itis.
Yeah, I don't even know if you can cure it. You just kind of like postpone it for a little bit.
Exactly.
Okay.
You can scratch the itch, but it's going to come back.
Yeah, I mean, even the annual due statements are just a minor inoculation, okay?
Exactly.
The add-on-itis is real, but it's good to know if people want to finance their DVC membership, there's more options out there, especially those that are tailored to the resale market.
Absolutely. We've had a great time doing this and being in this industry and serving the Disney community. It's just been so much fun.
Yeah, the Disney people are my favorite. That's why I just love talking with them. And I love talking with all levels of the Disney community, right. From members to cast members to former cast members to industry insiders, people like yourself who help serve them. It's just an incredible community to be a part of. And
absolutely. I love being an owner. It's just, I love when I get to go there. And a lot of times when I'm staying on property, I'm usually by myself. It's because I had a last minute trip up to Orlando. And this is kind of just a perk for me. I always feel safe because I do travel by myself as a woman. And I always know that it's just a safe place for me to wander around the lake if I want to go over to Boardwalk and have dinner. And, you know, I just love that security. It's just kind of a little extra to me.
Yeah, Disney, you can't beat. Anyways, thank you so much for being on the show today, Debbie. And we look forward to having you join us because, believe it or not, I found a bungalow stay person, which are rare people to find. So we're going to bring you into some bungalow shows and tell us all about that experience. Awesome. We will definitely be having you back on.
All right, great. Thank you so much, Chad. I had a blast talking with you and sharing my personal experiences with DVC and how I've used my points in the past and all the things that I've learned throughout the years.
Yeah, it's been fun, Debbie. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Chad. Bye.
Well, that puts another great episode in the books. And I'd also like to come back in and thank about 4 people for some new 5-star reviews on iTunes. Detour to Neverland. Our friend Brendan over at the Detour to Neverland podcast writes, Chad does an excellent job with this podcast. You can tell a lot of planning and production goes into making such a high quality show. It's fascinating to hear how other DVC members are using their points, and we've been able to implement a few of those strategies ourselves. Tug200 writes, Chad is a fantastic interviewer. The info and history provided by his guest is very informative and fun to hear. Like so many, I only recently bought DVC and regret not doing it sooner after listening to all the member stories. Thanks for listening in, Tug. DVCNY writes in their 5-star review, Been a DVC member a long time. I first heard about my DVC points when Chad was a guest on another show. I thought what a great idea to share people's stories. It's been great hearing all of the ways people use and share their DVC points. It's even given me some ideas to do and see in future visits to Walt Disney World and down the road at Disneyland. Keep them coming. Well, DVC New York, we are not backing down. As a matter of fact, we're about ready to double down. And Gavish writes, I've been listening to Disney podcasts for years and just uncovered this gem while trying to find more information on DVC. I truly appreciate the earnest, heartfelt discussions that happen in every episode. I binge listened to the first 20 episodes during my hour-long commute, and I'll be sad when I'm caught up and have to wait for new ones. Well, I've got some good news there. Come August 26th, our 1-year anniversary, we are going to move to a weekly podcast format. Yes, that means you'll be hearing more episodes more often. But in order for us to do that, we need a little bit more help. And this is where you, the listeners, can come back in. Our goal is to be a community-driven show that's all about the members. A show by members, for members, and about members that is even sponsored by members. Yes, that's right. I do have a couple commercial sponsors of the show, and they're going to help offset 1 or 2 episodes a month. But in order for us to go weekly, I'm going to need a little bit more help than what they can provide. And that's where Patreon comes in. If you enjoy the show and you want to help make this a weekly show, head on over to patreon.com/mydvcpoints. The entry level over at Patreon is called the Dole Whip Club, where it's $5 a month, and essentially you can buy me a Dole Whip. The reality of it is you're going to help outsource the editing and the show notes of this show so that I can go back to having somewhat of a normal life. Again, if you'd like to help out, patreon.com/mydvcpoints. Thanks for listening and have a great day.
Ladies and gentlemen, please watch your head and step as you exit, and take small children by the hand.
Aw, cheer up, Dad. You know we'll come back. With DVC.
My DVC Points is an unofficial Disney-inspired podcast created by fans of Disney Vacation Club. The thoughts expressed in this podcast are personal opinions and personal experiences. My DVC Points is not affiliated with Disney Vacation Club, the Walt Disney Companies, or any subsidiaries. We encourage listeners to contact their DVC guide or member services for official DVC policies.